Announcing our new Substack newsletter, Volume 1, Number 1. Click on the link below the episode to sign up. The first one will be sent out at 8:45 on March 22nd, 2024. Enjoy!
Paul Rosenblum is a bookkeeper, not an accountant or a CPA. Although the information comes from accounting professionals, the information in this podcast is meant to give you enough good information to have a conversation and dialogue with your tax professional about subjects discussed on this podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Not Boring, Boring Small Business and Accounting Podcast. I'm Paul Rosenblum. Today, I want to switch roads a little to talk about one of the ways bookkeeping can help the business owner understand more about their business and to make better decisions moving forward. This episode has been conceived because some of my brand new clients have only used bank statements to analyze their businesses and forward those bank statements to their tax preparer to file taxes. And the client wanted and knew that they needed more detail to make good business decisions moving forward. Let's take the case study of a restaurant for today's episode. This restaurant has over $200,000 of sales or revenue per month. Most people would automatically think that that's a successful business. However, in this scenario, the company is only breaking even or losing money every single month. The bookkeeper is the person who's most acquainted with the numbers that are occurring on a monthly or even a daily basis. In this case of a restaurant, the bookkeeper is entering the sales, the cost of goods, and the expenses which make up the profit and loss statement. Many restaurants have loans from people or banks or other lenders whose monthly outgoing payments go on the balance sheet and not the profit and loss statement, which we have spoken about in earlier episodes. So in any business that has outstanding loans that they are paying out every month that aren't reflected in the profit and loss of the business, the money in the bank won't necessarily reflect the net profit of the company. The profit and loss could show a profit of $40,000, but in this scenario, since $40,000 was paid out in monthly loan payments, for one example, the cash in the bank might be at zero. But that's for another episode. If the revenue of this business is $200,000 a month or more, but the profit is either non-existent or they are taking a loss every month, then the bookkeeper, even before the accountant sees it, could determine where the money is going by looking at the cost of goods and the expenses category by category, which is why the chart of accounts is so important to get right from the very beginning. In our case study, let's imagine that the revenue was $210,000 for 1 month and the cost of goods was around $100,000. In a restaurant, the cost of goods would include all ingredients, all restaurant supplies that is needed to cook food, delivery fees for the food, and any soda, water, or alcoholic drinks that they purchase and then resell to customers. If almost half of your revenue was spent on the cost of goods, that is, money that you have to spend in order to make that revenue, is the gross revenue really enough? Is the revenue enough to cover regular expenses like rent, payroll, extermination services, office supplies, bookkeeping and accounting expenses, utilities, insurance, and merchant fees for accepting credit cards? In our case study, revenue, the $210,000, minus the cost of goods, the $100,000, leave around $110,000 for all of those regular expenses, including any repairs that come up without any notice. If the expenses are $115,000 that month, then the company is taking a $5,000 loss for the month. It sounds very weird to most people that a company that takes in $210,000 in revenue can take a $5,000 loss in the same month, not including any loans or monthly equipment payments or longer-term debts that are getting paid off that are on the balance sheet and not showing up on the profit and loss report. But it happens much more than most people think it does. What can the business owner or partners in a business do about that? What kinds of suggestions can the bookkeeper or the accountant make to the business owner? Or even, what can the business owner or partners in a business look for in their own books to improve the situation? In our case study, the main categories on the chart of accounts to look at, other than revenue, of course, would be, number one, the cost of goods section. Two, payroll, which is normally a regular expense, but in some cases, arguably a cost of goods or a cost of labor account. And three, any other costs that can be partially controlled by the company, including monthly prices of software or any dues and subscriptions that the business might not 100% need. One example would be two subscriptions for software for two different computers. Can the work be done on only one computer? I recently saw when putting together the books for a law firm that two partners of the law firm had a restaurant delivery service monthly subscription fee showing up twice a month. I called their office and they told me that the two partners had the monthly subscription since they saved delivery fees when they bought lunches for their office staff. Why two subscriptions for the same office, doing exactly the same thing? I don't have an answer yet, but I'll keep you informed on that one. In other words, rent and utilities, for two examples, are not controlled by the business. They are at a price not determined by the business owner, hence we call them fixed costs. In the case of a restaurant, the cost of goods are made up of two things for business owners to look at. Number one, the actual cost of what you're paying for. And number two, how the items that one purchases as cost of goods get used. The actual cost of the cost of goods might be able to be lowered by either negotiating with the supplier or by finding another supplier. However, if there's a switch in suppliers, you want to try to make sure that you're getting the same quality, especially when it comes to food, since your customers might taste the difference if the ingredients, in a restaurant's case, are inferior quality. So that's a tricky one, especially if you like the quality of the goods that you're currently purchasing. The other way of lowering the cost of goods, in our case study restaurant case, is to use slightly less ingredients per dish that you create or cook for your guests. I don't necessarily mean to say use smaller plates or dishes, but even if it's a spoonful less of sauce on pasta, or two less pieces of topping on a pizza slice, can make a difference in how often you have to purchase more cost of goods, hence lowering your price for cost of goods over the long run. In other words, if you use less cost of goods, you spend less money monthly on cost of goods since you don't have to order quite as often. It doesn't sound like much, but it could very well make a difference in your cost of goods expenditures. In most fast food restaurants, for one example, the cost of goods is controlled by corporate. And this is why anywhere you travel to, if you order the same item at one chain of fast food restaurants, the burger or chicken or fries that you order are always exactly the same. It's the same amount of salt, same amount of mayo, same amount of ketchup in all 50 states in the U.S. within one fast food chain. Any business that has a kitchen and uses dishes, pots and pans, etc., need to clean these items. The industrial dishwashers usually have a monthly limit on how many loads you can do for the price that you're paying monthly. If you go over that allotment of dishwashing loads, you get charged extra, much the same with a copier lease that allow a certain amount of printing before you pay extra by going over that allotment. If it's found that every month the business is paying more for the monthly cost of the dishwasher because you are constantly exceeding the limit included in the monthly price, then the business would need to cut down the amount of dishwashing loads monthly, and that translates to less loads per day. Payroll costs are always high. But in reality, it could be controlled by the business. It's important to know with our case study company what hours during the day and what days are busier and what days are slower on a weekly and a monthly basis. The goal has to be not to have too little staff or too high a staff on duty at any given time. The business should have just the right number of staff to serve people who come to the restaurant to eat. If any workers need to have their hours reduced, I know how hard it is for owners to do that to people, but at the same time, the business has to not only survive, but make a profit to stay open. If a company closes permanently, then the employees have 0 hours to work. Payroll is one of the hardest parts of running a company as a business owner. If you reduce someone's hours, you are not only affecting that employee's financial life, but also taking the chance of losing that employee who would need more money to support him or herself or their families. At the same time, your business is more important than any single one of your employees. You as a business owner need to make money and pay your own personal rent and take care of your own family. So payroll adjustments are the most difficult thing to do and make decisions about since you're affecting other people's lives. Dishwasher loads are a bit easier. If the monthly allotment allows for 3 full loads a day, for an example, then the business should strive to not go over that limit to save money if needed. Even the cost of accounting software could make a difference to small or newly formed companies. Spending $70 to $75 a month on an online accounting software, which is around $840 to $900 a year, is more money than purchasing a desktop software that you can install on your own local computer for around $500 a year. But of course, online collaboration and how much the business owner travels with their own computer has to be taken into the fold. Without a chart of accounts that's well designed to cover all of these important categories, a business owner can't make the right decisions on how to make money and move forward. The balance sheet is tougher to read than the profit and loss, as it is an accumulation of the numbers from the beginning of the company, not by default automatically by month like a profit and loss report. However, your bookkeeper can run a balance sheet on a specific time period in most accounting software. So not only can you look at the balance sheet by month in a current year, but you can also compare it to the same month in a previous year. So you get a picture of what direction you're going. The same way you can in the profit and loss, you can do that in the balance sheet as well. Again, this shows you monthly car payments, loan payments, credit line payments, monthly equipment financing payments, or any funding that the company has gotten that is being repaid on a monthly basis. Even though these transactions are not part of the profit and loss, they do diminish the amount of money that the business has in the bank account, hence it's all interconnected. Even as a bookkeeper, I have clients who like to go over both the profit and loss and balance sheet every month with me so that they understand the full picture of their businesses, that is profit or in rare cases, losses, and how it interfaces with the balance sheet. Keep in mind that machinery, computers, and other assets that you purchase for the use of the company are entered into the balance sheet to be depreciated at the end of the year, and the depreciation or partial depreciation of these assets end up showing up on the profit and loss as a depreciation expense deduction. So any monthly profit and loss that your bookkeeper will discuss with you isn't going to be 100% accurate because of the end of the year tax rules with the IRS that your accountant or tax preparer will take care of. One other thing to mention is the accrual versus cash situation, which we've spoken about in a prior episode. If the bookkeeping is being done on the cash basis, then the cost of goods section reflects the money that physically got paid out of the bank account that month. If your company, however, is on the accrual basis and the bookkeeper is truly putting together accrual accounting or bookkeeping, then technically the cost of goods section should show the bills and not the bill payments. The cost of goods will reflect expenses as they happen, not when they are actually paid. So the numbers will probably be, in many cases, somewhat different. I hope this episode has helped you as a business owner or a future business owner understand the larger picture of the business. Most of the other episodes in this series, I have spoken about more specific things like the chart of accounts and the 1099 situation, to name just two. This episode was somewhat broader in nature. Thanks for tuning in, and since it's November as I record this, happy tax prep, happy tax season for taxes due between March and May of 2023.